Okay, there we go. Alvina Mocano, our Father, our King. Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for your word, Father, because it's your word that sets us free. And Father, I thank you today that those gifts, Father, and that calling within every single one of us, Father, you're going to start birthing ministries, Father. You're going to birth forth those gifts, Father. In the name of Yeshua, those seeds that have been laying dormant within their spirits, Father, are going to blossom and they're going to go forth, Father. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. You know, this is actually part of my series on covenant relationships. I'm going to put it all together. I probably have about 12 teachings on this because I think it's so important for us to understand the importance of covenant relationship that we have with one another. As believers in Messiah, we have a covenant with one another. Okay, God has not called us to be lone rangers. Okay, and he's given gifts within us, and I've said this time and time again, your gifts, the gifts that he has put within you are not for you. They're for somebody else. So we are not using our gifts. We're actually sinning against God when we let those gifts lay dormant. You know, it's an example of you can have a package of seeds, and those seeds are going to stay dormant, and you'll never know the beauty of those seeds until you plant them, water them, and allow them to grow. Within every single one of us are many gifts. But if we don't use them, they lay dormant within inside of us, and nobody sees the beauty of Yeshua, because that's what those gifts are. Those gifts reveal the beauty of Yeshua and reveal who he is. And there's all, you know, there's all kinds of gifts, and we're going to go through all the gifts. But I want to encourage you to, as we're teaching this and studying this, you get before God. I've got even a test. If you're not sure maybe what your gifts are that you can take home with you and discover, but you don't want to stand before God on Judgment Day. And he said, why didn't you use the gifts that I gave you? Okay, and the problem, you know, radio is great, internet is great, but you know what? It is not to replace the coming together as a body of Messiah, because your gifts cannot be used fully over the internet. I'm sorry, they can't. You know, I don't care how high-tech they get, they cannot. Okay, our gifts are to minister to one another and to be a blessing to one another. So let's go to 1 Corinthians. Let myself unravel here. 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to read some scriptures. I'm going to go over all the gifts quickly, but then I'm going to start going over them in detail as well. So 1 Corinthians 12. And again, too, the gifts just didn't start during the New Testament times. The gifts of the Spirit have always been here. In the Tanakh, they walked in the gifts of the Spirit as well. Here you go, let me. They have. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 and 5. It says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord, and there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. So all the gifts that we have are from the same Spirit. Okay, God is smart enough to know not to give all the gifts to one person. Right. You know, because he knows that our head would like blow up like this. He gave each person a gift so that we need one another, so that we can't function unless we're together. That's why it's called the body of Messiah. You know, take your body is a perfect example of how everything in your body has to work together for it to function properly. And even this tiniest little cell, it's usually, if that doesn't, you know, you think, oh, well, you know, it's just, you know, the big things that you see. But no, it's a tiny little cell. If that malfunctions, your whole body goes berserk. It's the same thing. If our gifts are not functioning, this congregation, and this is what I'm focusing on, this kahila, our ministries cannot function to their fullest capacity. We're actually crippled. We're actually incapacitated and not able to do what God's called us to do. Okay? We all need one another. I need the gifts that are in you. I need the gifts that are in you. You need the gifts that are in me. We need one another. We're here to minister to one another. That's why it's so important. There's such an anointing when we all come together and share our gifts. I mean, you may Shabbat somebody next to you that God will speak to your spirit to give that person a word of encouragement. And if you weren't there, you know, that person may have missed out on what God wanted to say to them. Okay, go to 1 Peter 4:10. And yet a lot of times this isn't touched upon in a lot of messianic circles. You know, it's and we need to realize we need the whole Word of God. We need to do everything that the Word of God says. From Genesis to Revelation, it's the whole picture. We didn't come to Torah now to get rid of the Brit Hadashah and do just the reverse of what we were doing the other time, you know, having the Brit Hadashah and getting rid of the Tanakh. Okay, we need the whole Word of God. Hallelujah. Let me get over there. Hallelujah. You know, if you're there, you want to read it? 1 Peter 4:10.
As each one has received some spiritual gift, he should use it to serve others, like good managers of God's many-sided grace.
Amen. So here, again, the key, using it to serve others. Okay, the purpose of your gift is to serve others. Go to Romans chapter 12. I'm beginning with verse 1. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allowed it to each person a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Messiah, and individual members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. And then we're going to get into these other gifts later, but again, we have to exercise those gifts. And the more you use your gifts, the more that those seeds in you, you're going to see more gifts coming forth. Okay, when I've been involved in ministry, you know, for 35 years. From the day I was born again, I was like, okay, God, I'm serving you, I'm yours. I didn't start up here. Okay, I started doing whatever I could do to help the ministry. I just wanted to serve God. You know, if they said, you know, pass out pamphlets, it's like, praise God, you know, I'm serving, I'm passing out pamphlets. You know, whatever God had me to do. And as you are faithful, you know, those gifts that are within you are there when you need them. Okay, believe me, the things we've done in this ministry is only because of the wisdom and the anointing and listening to the Ruach HaKodesh and being obedient. Because, you know, we can sit in our house and we can sit on the computer all day long and write down what we're going to do for God, but until you step out and do it, you're not going to see anything manifest. Faith without works is dead. You have to take that step of faith. You have to say, God, I know you've called me to do this, and I don't know how I'm going to do it, but you know what? Why? Because God does, you know, God does not, this one thing he told me years ago, okay? He says, I will not share my glory with any man. And if we're going to go out for self-glorification, God's not going to use us. You know, he's looking for humble people that he gets, you know, God, you know, any gifts I have are from God. Any gifts you have, I mean, our gifts are from him. You know, you can't manufacture them yourself. You are born with those gifts. Okay, again, the spiritual gifts are not for you, but for the body of Messiah. They're a manifestation of Yeshua. He walked in the fullness of all the gifts, and each member of the body is given the gifts as he will. God determines what gifts we're going to walk in. Okay? And the problem is, a lot of times, you see, everybody wants the gift that somebody else has. Right. You know, it's just like a little kid. They get a toy, and then their brother and sister, they get a toy, and they go, well, oh, I want your toy. That looks better. You know, it's like, no, the gifts that you have in you are the perfect gifts that fit your personality, fit your ability. God knows what he's doing. You know, and we just need to stir up those gifts and take that step of faith and do what he's calling to do and get it for years. You know, he'll give you scriptures and he'll confirm things. And he told me, he's because, believe me, I'm not the type of person who likes to stand up in front of people. When I was in high school, we had speech class. I ditched. I was like, I'm not getting up in front of those people. Now I'm sorry I did, because I probably maybe would have learned something extra. But it was like, it just like terrified me. But, you know, he spoke to my heart. You know, you're not to fear their faces. You are to fear me, and you are to say what I've asked you, told you to say. So we can't fear. Okay, we have to step forth in faith. Okay, we see there's three groups of gifts mentioned in the Brit Hadashah, and some of these gifts overlap, as prophecy and teaching may overlap. Okay, in group one, again, Romans 12:6-8, we see the gift of exhortation, of giving, of leadership. I'm going to go into detail more on this, of mercy, prophecy, service, and teaching. Okay, all these gifts are needed for a body to function, for a ministry to function, for a body to function, and to, you know what, if this ministry just stays bless us four and no more, it's going to die. God did not create us that way. Same thing, Israel's call was always to reach out to the nations and bring them in and show them the truth of the true God. We need to constantly be reaching out, constantly looking for ways to give people the truth. And again, persevering. You know, and not get discouraged. Because sometimes it can be, believe me, it can be discouraging. You know, and thank you for your encouragement today, because it blessed me. God knows I needed it. Then we have group two, found in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 10. We have administration, apostle, discernment, faith, healing, helps, knowledge, miracles, prophecy, teaching, tongues. Again, depending on your ministry, sometimes, you know, I find myself functioning in a lot more gifts than I used to, because he gives you what you need to do what God, he's called you to do. Okay? And you'll see, as you're faithful using that one gift, you'll see more gifts start, you know, surging up you. He's not going to throw the whole enchilada on you. He wants to say, you're going to be faithful doing this one thing I told you to do. And as you're faithful doing that one thing, you know, more seed, because it's the Ruach HaKodesh who bursts those gifts within you, that another seed is going to go bloom, and another seed, and another seed. But it's taking those steps of faith and obedience. Then the third group we have, and if you find in Ephesians chapter 4, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll go to, let's see. Let's begin with verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Messiah's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave, okay, who gave? Yeshua. He's the one who gave. Okay, the apostle, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, or shepherds and rabbis. A rabbi is a teacher of the word. Teacher of the Torah, okay? For what? What's our purpose? So everybody can say, ooh, you know, you're a pastor, you're an evangelist. No. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Messiah. Our job is to train, okay? So you can go out there and do what he has called you to do to build up the body of Messiah, okay? And that's part of our vision, is to train people and get more people, you know, so we can multiply. If we're not multiplying, we're not doing what God's called us to do. Okay, we're just a little Shabbat club meeting here, and, you know, all we care about is, you know, again, bless us for and no more. That's not what Yeshua said. He said, go out into the world, preach the gospel, the good news, teach and make Talmudim. Okay, we're to train up people. Why? So they can go forth and go out and teach. It's a multiplication. Okay? Okay, so let's break down some of these gifts a little more. First, we have the wisdom gifts. We have word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Then we have the utterance gifts, prophecy, tongues, interpretations of tongues. And let me exhort you, those that do not believe in speaking in tongues, be very careful about what you say. Because that is a Ruach HaKodesh you're talking about. Yes, some people get goofy. You know, but because they're goofy, does that mean what the word isn't true? No. God said it. I mean, it's right there in black and white. Okay? And it's for a purpose and it's for a reason. The power gifts, faith, healing, miracles. We need these power gifts. We need to have strong men and women of faith who can go forth there and do battle in the name of Yeshua, see people healed, see miracles to God's glory, not for us, not so we can put on a show and everybody can ooh and ah, ooh, the healer's in town. No. You didn't see that in the Brit Hadashah. You saw them just going and doing, you know, healing. They weren't calling attention to themselves. They just went there and they saw a need and they met it and they kept on going forth. And again, you know, I think they probably, if they saw what was going on today in some of these ministries, they'd be like, what happened? You know, where, you know, that's not the purpose of those gifts. Those gifts are to minister to people, to let them know that God cares about them. He wants to heal them. He wants to set them free, that he knows even the thoughts in their heart, okay? So we have the word of wisdom, okay? The word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation from God given at a specific moment to reveal the will of God for a specific situation. I've had this happen to me time and time and time again where I needed his wisdom. I didn't know what to do in a certain situation. You know, it could be at work. It could be with ministering to somebody. It could be with the direction of the ministry. It's like, God, I need your wisdom. And he will give me a word of wisdom, and he'd show me exactly what to do in this situation. That's a gift of the Spirit, okay? A word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation of facts pertaining to a person or situation not learned through the natural mind, but is frequent of knowledge given freely by God for a specific purpose, usually having to do with an immediate need. Again, I've seen that gift work in me because somebody needed to know something, okay? It could be healing. You know, all of a sudden, you know, something will, you know, come in my heart this person needs healing for this. Or just maybe they've been praying and fasting and they're waiting for a word from God. And you know, a couple times it's, you know, I've had somebody, you know, they didn't tell me, I didn't know what was going on. All of a sudden I was just like, you know, I believe God's, you know, showing me this. And it was exactly what they needed to hear. These are gifts of the Spirit, what? To exhort, to comfort. Again, okay, there's always a counterfeit. What's the counterfeit to these gifts? Ouija board, horoscopes, fortune tellers. That's the counterfeit of the real gifts. Okay? The real gifts, God wants us to work in these gifts, what? For the purpose of ministering to people. And that comes to learning. You know, for me, it's just like a knowing. It's just a knowing what to do because I know my Father's voice. I know how he speaks to me. Okay? And again, it's for the purpose of leading. God, I mean, his Spirit is within us. Why is it such a strange thing when, say, you know, God spoke to my heart? And people are like, huh? You know, it's like, that should be a normal. We should be, you know, having a conversation. He's within us. His Spirit was within us. You know, and he wants to lead and guide us. And he'll always lead and guide us in accordance with his word. Stir up those gifts. Discerning of spirits is the ability to perceive or discern the spirit world and especially to detect the true source of circumstances or motives of people. I mean, you know, the enemy likes to come and get involved in ministries and come to congregations. And he'll come in and he'll be like as sweet as pie. And Rabbi Scott really operates in this gift. Me, I'm like kind of a mercy motive. I go, no, I'm going to believe the best until they show me different, you know. But God will, you know, start revealing things. Sometimes you go back and forth. He goes, no. He goes, God, show me something's not right. I go, I says, no. I said, you just don't know them well enough. But, you know, sure enough, eventually that person's true motive comes forth. Okay, again, you can see why we need one another.
That's right.
Okay, because he'll say, you know what, there's just something not right there. Okay, so again, we see this in the scriptures, you know, happening time and time again. Go to Acts chapter 5. We need that. We need, you know, these gifts of the Spirit, especially, you know, I love when people say, well, those gifts, you know, were done away with after the apostles died. Excuse me, we need those gifts just as much today, if not more so, than they did back then. You know, the closer we get to Yeshua's return, believe me, there's going to be more demonic activity. There's going to be a lot of voices out there spewing out stuff that is contradictory to the Word, but they're going to make it sound so good and so appealing. It's happening every day. Churches that used to be real strong, evangelical churches, are allowing New Age stuff coming into. Why? Because it sounds good. Well, gee, it sounds spiritual. Listen to your spirit. If you were listening to your spirit, you'd pick up on it right away. The Holy Spirit says, it's not right. It's contrary to my word.
Amen.
Acts 5, 1-3. But a certain man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. I know most of us know this story, okay? And kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Ruach HaKodesh and to keep back some of the price of the land? So here you see that gift of discerning of spirits. I mean, Peter saw right there what that motive was. And what happened? Boom, dropped dead. I mean, you talk about quick judgment. You talk about the fear of God. You think the fear of God would come on this congregation if that happened? You know, but again, that discernment, a spirit was there. He knew, he saw the motive of his heart. He says, you're lying to the Ruach HaKodesh. And again, he told him, nobody told you had to give all the money. You know, you're the one who said you wanted to give it, but you lied. You thought you could hide this from God. But see, God reveals that to his servants. Okay? Go to Acts chapter 8. I'm going to go to, we're not going to read the whole thing, we're going to verse 9 and then skip down to 18. I know a lot of you are familiar with this too. Now there was a certain man named Simeon who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from the smallest to the greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, "This man is what is called the great power of God." And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. Go down to verse 18. Now when Simeon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I can lay my hands on may receive the Ruach HaKodesh. So he's probably thinking, you know, hey, I want to bless people. But Peter said, may your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion of this matter, for your heart is not right before God. God revealed that to Peter and showed this man his heart. Again, we need this gift because, believe me, people will come in and they'll try to flatter you and they'll try all things, sweet things. You know what? You need to know what's in their heart. And God will reveal it to you when somebody's trying to rip you off. Okay? Go to chapter Acts 13. But Elymas, the magician, for thus his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Shaul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, fixed his gaze upon him and said, you are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil. Hey, he told it like it was. And you know, sometimes, you know, when somebody is not righteous and operating in satanic gifts, you know, he didn't pull any punches. You enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time. And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. Hallelujah. They didn't, you know, let the enemy mess with them or deceive people. But you see how right away, even as soon as Yeshua's resurrection, right away the enemy's in there. With, you know, magicians and sorcerers trying to buy the gifts of God, not because they cared about people, because they wanted to make a name for themselves. They thought they could buy the power of God. But God revealed to them right away, the apostles, what was in their heart. Okay? Go to Matthew 16, verses 15 to 17. And here Yeshua is, again, he's having a conversation with Peter. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Yeshua answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So here we see that how God gave Simon a supernatural revelation of who Messiah was. Again, that was a gift of the Spirit. Then we have the gift of faith. The gift of faith is a unique form of faith that goes beyond natural faith. It is supernaturally a surge of confidence from the rock HaKodesh of Yahweh, where an individual receives a trust and does not doubt in regard to a specific matter. We see that in the life of Abraham. God told him, you know, get up and go forth. And he got up and went. That's why he's called the father of faith. Because he got up and he went and he obeyed God. And he didn't know where he was going. He says, God said, hey, I'm gonna make you a great people, a great nation, and a land. And he just went forth, not seeing, not knowing anything. The town he was from, the Ur of the Chaldees, was a very prosperous commerce town, you know, commercial town. But Abraham knew, and they were steeped in paganism and false worship. You know, they worshiped the moon god, okay? But he knew that there was only one true God. Why? Because that seed was always there. Okay, God always made sure that there was a remnant who would not lose faith in him. And he got up by faith. Hebrews 11. Study these people in Hebrews 11. People of faith. Okay, faith. The gift of faith is the ability to do something that God's called you to do. And you don't have a clue how it's going to get done. You know, example, the conference, you know, the congregation. It's just like, because I know that I know that I know he told us to do this. You know, and that's the step, you take that step of faith, knowing that God, that he told you to do it, and he gives you, in fact, you know, he's given that to you. But you have to put feet to it. It's a gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, okay? God will give you the faith that you need to accomplish what he's called you to do. Okay, he's never going to tell you something that you can't do. Because you know what? You can do all things through a Messiah who strengthens you. If you're going on your own strength, you probably won't. But you know what? Not by power, was it? Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's by him. You know, if we're looking to ourselves, lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall guide your steps. Okay, knowing that he is going to do it. And yeah, it's, you know, is it easy sometimes? No. You know? But when you know God's called you to do something, you got to step forth and do it. Again, you don't want those gifts to lay dormant within you. Because you know what? Somebody's missing out on a blessing then. You know, the spheres, and again, your gifts, it's important that they function in a community, but they're also to function outside of the community. They should be functioning on your job, within your family, with your neighbors. You know, we need to constantly be listening to the Ruach HaKodesh. When somebody's trying to rip us off, you need that gift of discernment so God shows you, uh-uh. You know, when some smooth talker comes and you know, he just like, you know, smooth talking you, you need to leave the Spirit, listen to the Spirit of God, especially if you're, you know, you're single. You know, it's like you need to, you know, talk is cheap. You know, you need to listen to the voice of God. And if you feel a check in your spirit, you better go running. You know, the enemy is really good with words. Hallelujah. The gifts of healing are those healings Yahweh performs supernaturally by the Ruach HaKodesh. The plural suggests that there are many sicknesses and diseases and that all can be healed. We'll go on. I'm going to teach on healing. There are hundreds of scriptures on healing. Okay? We just need to take hold of them. You say, well, Rabbi, I know some people that died and didn't get healed. You know what? The word is still true. The word is still true. You know, we just need to take hold. Yeah, they were healed because if they knew the Lord, they're with Him.
Amen.
You know, so it's, and maybe, again, you don't know that person's heart. Maybe they wanted to go. Maybe they just said, you know, Lord, I've run my course. I just want to be with You. You know, and they have that will. But it's God's will for us to be whole. And sometimes it's a battle. But again, the gifts of healing, we need that today. There's many sick people out there that need to know that God healed. If study life as we're going through Matthew, it says Yeshua healed all that were sick. The only place He could not do great healings was His own hometown. He says, hey, you know, we've known Him since a kid. You know, who's this? You know, is it true in your own family? It's like, I know my family. They're just like, you know. Who are you? What do you mean, Rabbi? What do you, you know? It's like, pastor. Cool. You got a radio program? You know, it's like, again, why? Because of their unbelief. God wants those gifts. Does everybody have that gift? No, but some do. Okay, and you need to stir it up. Should every believer lay hands on the sick? Yeah. You know, we're supposed to pray for one another. But this gift of healing, it's a special gift. And remember too that healing is progressive. Miracles are instantaneous. And a lot of times when people get their hands laid on them, you know, God is working right then in your body. I know how many times that, you know, I would have people pray for me and for certain things. I used to have really bad bursitis in my hands because I was a hairdresser for years. So because they're constantly in water and they're pain. It was just like horrible pain. You know, and I just kept on praying. And you know, one day I noticed, hey, you know what? I don't have pain in my hands anymore. Praise God. You know, just different things in my body He's healed me from. You know, some things that were beyond my control, but there's some things we can control. You know, as far as what we eat, I've been, you know, really making a change in my diet. And let me tell you, not easy, because in my office, it's like, okay, I'm here, I'm going to eat fruit and vegetables. I go into the kitchen. Big thing of candy. One of the companies gave this big basket and there's cake and all this stuff. It says, nope, poison, poison, poison. And I walked away. You know, it says, no. I says, I don't need it. So I'm sitting there munching on apples and, you know, it's hard. You know, with me, it's like sticking an alcoholic, giving them a job in a liquor store. You know, when it comes to candy, you know, it's like, oh, but you know what? Eventually, it's like, I don't need it. Because, again, if it's destroying my body, and it's going to cut my life short from doing what God's called me to do, I don't want it. It's a deceit of the devil. Because doesn't the word say, you know, beware of dainties, beware of, you know, those that put those things before you? You know? Hallelujah. Working of miracles is a manifestation of power beyond the ordinary course or natural law. We see that in the life of Elijah and Elisha. In fact, today's Haftor portion was about Elisha and his encounter with two women. The one was the widow who was in debt, had no money. And he said, you know, go out there, gather, you know, as many containers as you can. And God supernaturally filled all these containers and would have kept on filling them if she didn't run out of them. She was able to pay her debts and in an abundance to help other people with. That is a miracle, okay? Elijah and the other woman was a very well-to-do woman, but she didn't have any children. You know, and Elisha said, you know, this time next year you're going to have a child. And then that child died, and he raised that child from the dead. That's a miracle. Okay, and you see many miracles. Again, you see many of these gifts in the Tanakh as well. Okay, in the lives of, you know, the different men and women. The Ruach HaKodesh has always been here. Okay, except it was like certain people He rested upon. But now every believer has these gifts within them. Okay, and we're accountable to God to use them. Another one of the gifts is prophecy. It's a divine disclosure by the Spirit to communicate a message for Yahweh for a specific moment, promoting encouragement and comfort. Okay, that's where God will, again, we're in worship and prayer, and all of a sudden God will have a word within you to give forth to encourage somebody. Okay, it's always to encourage and comfort. Okay, and that's why when we come to worship, we need to come prepared to listen to the Spirit of God. We want those gifts to manifest. We want to hear encouragement and comfort from Him. Okay, that's what the Word says. It's in the Word. So don't tell me it's not for today, because it's in the Word. Okay, I've been many a times where, Rabbi Baruch and Bishop Dominique were here. You know, she had a word over me that strengthened me, but it confirmed what was already given to me before. But that was a prophecy, a word. I know she had a word, you know, for you, John, as well. You know, to encourage you to, you know, that's what God does. He wants to encourage us. He wants to stir up what's within us and say, no, keep going. Don't get discouraged. I want to use you. Okay, He wants to use every single one of us. Okay, different kinds of tongues is the gift of speaking supernaturally in a language not known to the individual. And the interpretations of tongues is a gift of rendering the message of the Ruach meaningfully to others. It is not the translation of a foreign language, but a dynamic equivalent of that which is spoken in tongues. Again, what's the purpose? To exhort and encourage people. Okay? And again, I've been, you know, in ministry 35 years, and I've heard all the arguments. Sorry, I'm filled with the Spirit. I speak in tongues, and it's not the devil speaking through me. Right. It's the Spirit of God that I pray. And there's times of prayer where you don't know what to pray, right. You know, and out of your innermost being, sometimes you'll just be groaning and travailing. It almost feels like you're giving birth, or you feel that, and God, the Spirit is interceding within you for that person. You know, and sometimes, you know, you'll speak forth in a heavenly language that only God knows. You're speaking forth, it says mysteries. Because there's times we don't know how to pray for somebody. And that's, you know, but the Spirit Himself prays with us, okay? He's not going to force Himself on you if you refuse it, you know what, He'll just use somebody else then. But you know what? There may be somebody travailing over you. You know, that you're in a situation where you may be in a very dangerous situation. You know, and God is going to put it on somebody's heart, that Spirit that has yielded to Him to travail and intercede for you to maybe save your life. Thank God for those gifts. Encourage those gifts. Don't disdain them or look down on them because you don't understand them. That's a very dangerous place to be. You know, it's if you know God, you know that He dwells within you. Those gifts are within you. Again, it's what the Word says. Okay, now I had somebody who was reading a commentary, and she was saying, oh, well, that Paul is referring to the Hebrew language. You know, the Hebrew language is not an unknown tongue. It's something you could learn. An unknown tongue is something that you cannot learn. You've never learned. You're just yielding yourself, your members, your tongue, that is the worst one to control. You're yielding it to the Ruach HaKodesh. For you, for the benefit of somebody else. And yet it builds you up as well. Now in an assembly, it's not going to edify anybody if you stand up and pray in tongues. Okay? That's why Paul says if somebody gives tongues, somebody needs to interpret by, again, the Spirit of God just to give forth, okay, this is what God's saying. Usually it's a word of encouragement or exhortation. Okay? And believe me, I've been in Pentecostal churches where, you know, they ran the pews, jumped and did all kinds of, I mean, God bless them. They probably thought they were doing the right thing. But Paul says everything decently and in order. God is a God of order in everything. In ministry, in congregations, in prayer, you see He's a God of order. The tabernacle, the tribes around the tabernacle is a perfect picture of the body of Messiah working together with the Spirit of God right there in the middle. Each of the tribes had a gift and a function and a calling they were to walk in. And they each had the place where they were supposed to be around the tabernacle. They just couldn't say, well, I want to be over by Joe over there. You know, I like him better. I don't want to be over on this side. God says, no, you're to be there, you're to be there, you're to be there, and you're to be there. And this is your job. Levi, this is your job. Gershom, this is your job. They all had jobs to do. Okay? Issachar was set up the Torah schools. Zebulun was a merchant who financed those schools. Everybody had a job to do, and they walked in divine order. What happened when they got out of that order? Chaos. If there's chaos, Satan is in control. God is a God of order. Okay? And again, and even in the gifts, there can, even Paul says, you know, when you, if you prophesy, let two or three, and then the congregation is to judge. Okay? Whether this is from, whether this was from God. So you have to be willing, humble yourself, and say, okay, I feel that this is what God is saying, you know, and if it's correct, it's going to bear witness to everybody else. If it's off the wall, you know, because a stranger can come in and say, prophesy something and be totally, you know, kill the Spirit of God and it's in the flesh. Okay, we're to judge those prophecies. Okay, not because we can say, step by, you did it wrong, you know, but to encourage one another. Okay, we want to encourage one another to use our gifts. Okay, another gift, administration. Okay, this is a gift that I need greatly. And the more I go in ministry, the stronger this gift gets within me. Okay, now when I first started out in ministry, I didn't really need this gift then. Okay, but the more involved I am, the more I need this gift. It's the gift that enables a believer to formulate, direct, and carry out plans necessary to fulfill a purpose. Okay, the administrative gift is needed within a congregation. It's needed within a ministry. And one of the things, you know, people will recognize the gifts within you too. One thing, people, I don't care where I work or who I know, the first thing that comes out of their mouth, you're so organized. It's like, you know, as I hear that time, you're so organized. I says, because I can't work in chaos. You know, I can't. It's like, I have to have everything, you know. But again, that's a gift of administration too. But again, people will recognize the gifts within you. Another gift is artistry, a gift that gives the believer the skill of creating artistic expressions that produce a spiritual response of strength and inspiration. It took an artistic person to do these banners. That was a gift. I couldn't do that. I wouldn't have the patience for it. You know, I'm not an artist. It's not my gift. But there are people that this is their gift, so they can be a blessing to the body of Messiah. We see that in Exodus. Go to Exodus 31. Or Shemot. Again, these gifts were in the Torah and they were in the Tanakh as well. God, Yahweh needed the tabernacle built, and he gave the people the gifts needed to build it. Now Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the spirit of Yahweh in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge." Sounds like the gifts of the spirit to me. "And in all kinds of craftsmanship to make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and in bronze, in the cutting of stones for setting and the carving of wood, that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship. And behold, I myself have appointed with him Oholiab, the son of Asimach, the tribe of Dan, in the hearts of all who are skillful. I have put that skill that they may make all that I have commanded." So God here, these men, God has given gifts, they had these gifts, but it was the Ruach HaKodesh who anointed them to use those gifts so the tabernacle could be built. And if you see, if you study the tabernacle and to see the beauty, and they didn't have, you know, craftsmen, you know, tools and big, you know, smelting things. I mean, everything was handcrafted in the middle of the desert. God gave them the gift and the ability to do this, okay? It's a gift from God. Let's go on. Some of these other scriptures. Discernment. It's again, is that gift that motivates the believer. Okay, now, this isn't the spirit of discernment. This is discernment, which is different. It's the gift that motivates the believer to seek Yahweh's will and purpose and apply that understanding to individual, community, and synagogue situations. Okay, there's times you come into a situation and you need the discernment of God to show you how, and to give you understanding for that situation. Believe me, it happens to us time and time again. You need that in your own families. You need that in your own life. You need that on your jobs. Again, that's the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. Evangelism. The gift that moves the believers to reach to non-believers in such a way that they come to faith in Messiah Yeshua and become a part of the Messianic community. Rabbi Scott, that's his gift, his strong gift is evangelism, to go out there and minister and share to people. We need all those. Everybody doesn't have all the gifts. But you know, when we're all using our gifts, then we're manifesting more and more of the power and glory of God in this place. And again, the purpose of the gifts, to go out, bring people in, disciple them, go out, bring people in. We should be constantly looking for ways to bring people in. Another gift is exhortation or support, the gift that moves the believer to reach out with the love of Messiah and the rock to people in personal conflict facing a spiritual void. Go to 2 Timothy. I see that gift, you know, operating in Zola of exhortation. Okay, it's a time where you exhort people and encourage them. Hallelujah. Second Timothy, okay. Begin with verse 1. Okay, here's Paul to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Yeshua HaMashiach by the will of Yahweh, according to the promise of life in Yeshua. Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Messiah Yeshua, our Master. I thank Yahweh, whom I serve with the clear conscience that the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. And for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of Yahweh which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Amen. So he's exhorting Timothy, stir up those gifts, okay? God hasn't given you the spirit of timidity, but power, okay? It's the same thing, he's speaking the same thing to us. And you want to correct that scripture, I have the wrong scriptures down there. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our master or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Again, he's exhorting and encouraging him, okay? I mean, today what you did was exhorting me and encouraging me, and it blessed me. Hallelujah. Then we have faith, which is different from the gift of faith. This gives a believer the eyes to see the rock at work and the ability to trust the rock's leading without indication of where it all might lead. Again, a person of faith is a person of vision. They see things that you don't see. And what they're trying to do is just encourage you. It's like, it's going to be done. I know because God showed me. It's their faith and trust. We see that in the life of Abraham. Okay? Again, an example of faith and walking in faith. It's just that you know that God is not going to leave, that you know that he is going to do what he has called you to do and what he has shown you to do. He's given you that vision. So I encourage people, write it down and stand strong in that vision that he's given you. And go on, you could read some of these scriptures later. Okay, the giving. The gift that enables the believer to recognize Yahweh's blessings and to respond to those blessings by generously and sacrificially giving of one's resources, time, talent, and treasures. Again, there's people that just have that ministry of giving. They give above and beyond. Because God has blessed them, they're just like a funnel to give that blessing to somebody else. You know, I always tell people I could never own a store because I'd be giving it all away. It's a bug the heck out of my mother, and it's like, you're always giving stuff away, and it's just like, God tells me to give something away, I'm going to give it away. Amen. Because you know what? It's from him. But there's people that have a specific ministry where they have the finances to support a ministry and to help them. Okay, I pray that God brings people in like that. Amen. So we can do what he's called us to do.
Amen.
Okay?
Big job.
And it's a gift. Not everybody has that gift. Okay, it goes above and beyond because they know that God is their source. They see a need and they meet it. Okay? Next is hospitality. Again, this was part of our Torah portion today. In Genesis 18, Abraham 18 verses 1 to 8, when the strangers came to visit him. Okay, for he ran out. He bowed down his face before them. You know, it was obvious it was Elohim that was there, but he invited him to his house. He made meat. He fed them. He took care of him. He was very hospitable to them. Okay, again, our example. It's a gift that causes a believer to joyfully welcome and receive guests and those in need of food and lodging. Okay, the hospitality, it's not just, you know, a special speaker comes to town. It's like maybe you know somebody, they don't have any place to live right now. You're saying, you know what, you can come and stay with me for a season until you guys settle. We've done that. You know, it's like you don't have a place, you know, if we know somebody has no place to live, you can't say, oh, well, too bad. You know, but again, that gift of hospitality says, yeah, it's inconvenient sometimes, but you know what, it's a blessing. Go to Romans 12:13. You see that again. You see that gift in Abraham's life. Again, he's exhorting them. He goes, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Okay? Go to 16 verses 1 and 2, Romans. So I guess it's something you have to practice. It's not always easy to be hospitable sometimes and open your house to strangers. But you know what? It's a blessing. Hallelujah. Thank God that you have a house that you could open up to somebody. Amen. You know? I commend to you, and God will give you the wisdom too. I'm not saying take people off the street. Bring, you know, God gives you discernment and wisdom. Okay? I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the assembly which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need for you, for she herself has been a helper of many and myself as well. So Paul's encouraging them, this woman that he was sending to them, help her, be hospitable to her, take care of her needs. Okay. Let's go on to I want to get through to all these. Intercession. Wonderful gift. The gift that enables a believer to pray with certainty that prayer is heard and requests are made, answers will come. We're all called to intercede, but there are people that have a gift of intercession. I mean, they can pray all day long. They will pray and fast and get on their face and pray for other people. That's their ministry, is to intercede and stand in the gap for people. Yeah, we're all called to do that, but this kind of goes above and beyond that. Okay? That, you know, again, they'll just be, you know, be listening to the Spirit constantly and be praying and interceding for people. Go to Matthew chapter 6. And again, the more you use your gifts, the more they'll grow. The more they'll be perfected. If you don't lose it, they'll be dormant. You'll lose it, right? You're praying, God, why don't you use me? It's like, well, how many, you know, I want to, but you're not, you know, you're not doing what I'm telling you to do. You know, some of the, you know, we think that sometimes when, you know, when we stand before the Lord, that all the people with the great reward are going to be the ones that have the TV ministry and they've spoken to thousands. I guarantee it's probably going to be those intercessors, people who came faithfully to help clean the synagogue, people who are feeding the poor and the hungry, that are probably going to get more rewards, that nobody ever gave them a pat on the back. Nobody said, wow, you're doing a great job. They believe they're going to have a greater reward than the ones that everybody is praising and ooing and ah already, because they're getting their reward now. Right. So don't think that the applause of men or the accolades of men have anything to do with your gifts and calling and your success and what God's called you to do. Again, right, we want to stand before Him and have Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Says, but when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for them many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, and we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Again, we see the gift of intercession in the life of Abraham. How many times did he get on his face for Israel, you know, when they were just totally blowing it? And God was like, you know, I've had it, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, you know, but forget them. And he said, no, he interceded in the gap. He interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah, you know. Well, you know, and he kept on, well, you know, if there's 50 righteous, will you spare, you know? I mean, God knew there wasn't any righteous there, but he says, okay, you know, he kept on, you know, God was seeing the heart of Abraham. Well, how about there's 40? You can get down to 10, you know. But obviously, the only ones that came out were Lot. But he was an intercessor. He had a heart for other people. Even when other people have said, forget him, you know, like he's lost an intercessor won't. They'll get on their face and stand in the gap. Again, some of these other scriptures you can go through yourself. Knowledge. Okay, knowledge, this isn't the gift of knowledge. This is knowledge that drives a person to learn, analyze, and uncover new insights with regard to the word of Yahweh and faith in order to teach others. Okay, some, you know, our teachers out there, like, you know, like Brad Scott and Bill Cloud and John McKee, you know, they're given this gift to gather knowledge on a certain topic so they can go forth and teach somebody else. Okay, again, it's a gift that drives a person to learn and analyze and uncover insights, again, for the purpose of blessing somebody else and teaching somebody else. And again, you see that in many of the teachers that God has raised up. Leadership, the gift that gives a believer the confidence to step forward, give direction, and provide motivation to fulfill a dream, a vision, or a complete task. Again, God is the one who places leaders. Okay, you look all through the Bible, there's always leadership in the Bible. God always has a leader, and he has that leader, you know, train and prepare people to go forth. Joshua was a leader, Moses, Abraham, you know, Ruth, Esther, you know, they were leaders. Okay. Nowadays, sometimes we look down our nose at leadership and we think, well, I don't need a leader. That's rebellion because you're going against God's order. God is a God of order, and he doesn't set leadership up to rule over you with an iron thumb. To encourage you and say, come on, we're going forth in victory. He gives the leader that vision. He gave what Moses the vision. He gave Abraham the vision. Okay. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the vision. To go forward, the apostles, they were all leaders. In other words, to stir people up to go forward. We need leadership. We need strong spiritual leadership. People that aren't afraid to do what God's called them to do and stir people up and get them excited to go forth. I believe God wants to raise up more leaders in this place. Hallelujah. The gift of mercy. The gift that motivates a believer to feel deeply for those in physical, spiritual, or emotional need and then act to meet that need. Again, you see time and time again where Yeshua would see somebody sick. It says he was moved by compassion and mercy to see them healed. I know, Rabbi Scott works a lot in that gift. You know, I have a motive gift of mercy, but, you know, that mercy, you'll see somebody, you know, on the street or see somebody, and you just come to tears and you just want to do something to help them. Okay? And you see that, you know, the mercy within you stirs your heart. You know, sometimes, you know, that mercy, sometimes the most cantankerous person, you know, all of a sudden God will show you what's really going on, and then mercy, the mercy of God will just flood up within you for that person so you can minister to them. Okay? Hallelujah. Almost done here. Next, musical, music or vocal. Hallelujah. The gift that gives the believer the capability and opportunity to present personal witness and inspiration to others through singing. I don't know how many times where I would become depressed or feeling down, and I would put on a CD and I would just start worshiping God, and that music and those words would start ministering to my spirit. Okay, if you look all through the Psalms, the Psalm is a book of worship and worshiping God. Okay, there's an anointing. But I, you know, I was thinking about this today too. Not all music is anointed. Not all musical tones are anointed. Okay, I really believe that there's certain that God gifts people, you know, just like he gifted David to minister to Saul, there's certain tones in music that minister to us. Okay? You listen to some of that secular stuff, and believe me, it's not ministering to you. Even the I'm sure Patricia knows more about this than I do, being that she studied music, but I believe certain notes played a certain way actually bring depression and oppression to you. But certain notes play, you know, correctly, lift you up. I think Rigo Cordez did a teaching on that. And that a lot of your, I love classical music because when I listen to classical music, it ministers to me. Because there's certain, I think, octaves or tones that they played that produce that in you. I mean, talk about God-given gifts. You look at like Beethoven, you know, Handel, all the music that they were able to write. I mean, it's like incredible. That was a gift from God. Psalm 96, 1, and let's go to the Psalms. Again, it's a gift. Not everybody can sing. Not everybody can play music. You know, I mean, if I'm in the right key, I can, you know, I can sing a tune. I could, you know, but there's some people that they just have a voice. Look at Paul Wilbur, how many people he's ministered to with his voice and his music, and thousands of others. That God has given them that gift, and that gift isn't the purpose, so they can go on, you know, Everybody Gets Talent or American Idol and become a star. That wasn't the purpose of that gift. The purpose of, right. And the purpose of that gift is to exhort and minister to the body of Messiah. Okay, to bring them into the throne room of God. Hallelujah. Psalm 96, 1-9. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all the gods. Go to Psalm 100, 1-2. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. We should be joyfully praising. We should be totally abandoned to him in praise and worship. Who cares what the person next to you is doing or the person behind you? That's when we're going to see the glory of God filling this place. Because you see that, okay, when the tabernacle or the Solomon's temple was built. It says when they were all in one accord, the glory of God came down because they were worshiping him. There's power in worship. That's why, you know, we're having Patricia, you know, being in charge of praise and worship and getting a choir going. Again, it's a step of faith. See, a person of faith, though, sees a full choir, sees his people filled with people of praise and worship. They just don't look, a person of doubt looks around and says, what choir? You know, I see everybody, I see this place filled with choir, filled with music. I bought that piano by faith. I said, you know, one of these days, someone's going to be sitting at that piano and going to be able to play it. Hallelujah. There she is. Psalm 149, 1-2. Again, don't covet somebody else's gifts. Ask God to show you the gifts that he has put within you. And then use them for his glory. Take that step of faith. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the godly ones. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their king. Hallelujah. And again, too, along with vocal music is instrumental music, the gift that inspires the believer to express personal faith and provide inspiration through the playing of a musical instrument. Again, you see that in 1 Samuel 16 when Saul was going out of his mind because the anointing left him. I'd go out of my mind, too, if the anointing left me. You know, and they said, what do? They brought David in to play his harp and minister to him. Okay. Again, some of these, you go over these scriptures yourselves in Psalm 150 talks about praising him with the musical instruments. You know, and I'm not talking about rock and roll. I'm sorry. I think there's a certain way to praise God. There's a certain tone, a certain music to praise God. I'm sorry, hip hop, No pop. Nope. You know, I'm sorry. I don't think, you know, and I'm not old-fashioned. I mean, I love music, but, you know, I think there are certain instruments, certain ways to praise him correctly. And why are we taking the things of the world and trying to entice people with them? When God, right, when God has already given people the gift, the anointing to minister music to people that is going to bring healing and deliverance to them. We don't need the things of the world. We've got better than they've got.
Right.
Pastoring or shepherding, the gift that gives the believer the confidence, capability, and compassion to provide spiritual leadership and direction for individuals or groups of believers. Again, it's Yeshua who gives this gift to the body of Messiah. And you see in 1 Timothy, Timothy was a pastor. Paul encouraging him and exhorting him as a pastor, okay? Next is service, or the gifts of help. This gift enables a believer to work gladly behind the scenes in order that Yahweh's work is fulfilled. The gifts of helps could be running the sound equipment, helping clean on Shabbat, helping with the fellowship meals, helping with the kids. I mean, there's so much that goes into making a ministry go together. You know, bringing food to the sick, you know, helping. Again, that's why it's called helps. Helps is, you know, holding the hands, helping, you know, helping the leadership of the congregation. Okay. Amen. We all started in the gifts of helps. You know, I was blessed. It's like, just use me, God. You know. Again, I served him for 35 years, and all that was training for what we're doing now.
Yeah.
You know, we've been ordained now for like about 10 years, but 25 years that was preparation, training. Everything we learned along the way, everybody we served to help them, we learned something. We learned, you know, how you know, a ministry runs. We learned how to be a servant. We learned how to do things without sometimes thanks. We learned how to serve when other people were passing us by, you know, coming through the door and promoted. And we're still like, what about me? You know, but says, you know what? It's not man that promotes you, it's God that promotes you. And, you know, and we're just serve as unto him anyway. But the helps is a greatly needed ministry, okay? Okay, skilled craft. Again, we saw that in Exodus. The gift that enables a believer to create, build, maintain, or repair items used within the community, synagogue, or kahila. Teaching, this gift that enables a believer to communicate a personal understanding of the word of Yahweh in such a way that it becomes clear and understood by others. Okay, not everybody is called to teach, okay? But those who are called to teach, God gives you the ability to do that, okay? We see that, again, it's one of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12:28. Again, basically, that's what a rabbi is a teacher. He's teaching, it's teaching you the scriptures, okay? So let's, you know, get off the thing, you know, call no man, no rabbi. You know, it's like, that's just a position, you know, it's just what God's called that person to do, you know, and it's just, you know, showing respect, you know, to one another. Okay, Matthew, again, you know, that's a gift that's needed, and teaching doesn't necessarily being up here, teaching the kids. Teaching the youth, teaching the women. There's all kinds of people that need to be taught. Teaching people in nursing homes. You know, there's all kinds of people that, God, if God's given you the gift of teaching, like, you know, I knew that gift was within me because everything I would read, I thought, oh, this would be good to teach. And I'd be like, outline, it's just like, it's just in you. You're just motivated to teach. You just, you know, everything you do is to teach. You know, I'm just sure, like, Patricia, everything she's probably like music. She sees a song probably and everything, and you know, because that's the gift that's within you. You know, God's already, you already know some of those gifts are within you. You're just letting the enemy keeping you from going forth in it.
Yes.
Okay, because those gifts are within you. And again, other people will, you know, see those gifts in you as well. Wisdom, again, the gift that allows the believer to sort through opinions, facts, and thoughts in order to determine what solution would be best for the individual believer or the community of believers. Again, you need that wisdom in leadership. You need that wisdom in your family. You need that gift of wisdom on your job. I don't know how many times I'm on my job and I come against like a brick wall and like, I don't know what to do. give me wisdom. I need what to do. And he gives me that wisdom, and I was able to figure out that problem. Or the computer or whatever I'm working at. I'm calling to him, God, stir up, give me that wisdom, show me. And he does. He just, boom, just shows me what to do. Okay, we need that wisdom. It's a gift. Go to James 3. You know, does everybody have all the gifts? No. Again, that makes us need one another. Because when you're not using the gifts that he gave you, we're hurting. The body is hurting. Three thirteen to 18. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And again, he says, I think in James 1, if any man lack wisdom, to let him ask of God, okay? chapter 1, verse 5, if any one of you lacks wisdom, I mean, how many times have we lacked wisdom in a situation? You know, it could be anything with our kids and our work. It's like, you know, God, I don't know what to do, you know? He says, let him ask of God who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. But let that man expect that he will not let that... For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So God wants to give you the wisdom that you need. And last but not least is the gift of writing. Are all of us writers? You know, no. I know I've got a lot of stuff that I would like to write, but, you know, it takes a lot for me to write something where some people, they can just like, you know, get books out, you know, once a week. They're putting a book out, and it's like me. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, get this together. The gift that a believer's ability to express truth in a written form, a form that can edify, instruct, and strengthen the community of believers. You know, praise God, the writers of scriptures were instruments of the Ruach HaKodesh. They were all given the gift of Yahweh to write the very words of God that we needed to hear.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for that. That they were obedient to their word. So we have this word. You know, we have no excuse. Okay? In the day of Abraham, they didn't have this. They were given progressive revelation as they walked along the way. Okay? And little by little, wasn't until the, you know, the word was eventually written down. But again, it was hidden in their heart. They probably knew more of that word better than we do, and we've got it written down, you know, because they had to put it to memory because they didn't have it like this that we did. Okay? So again, that's a, you know, a gift of God. And I just want to encourage you again, we need those. If we're going to do what God's called us to do, God never calls one person. He calls a group of people. He calls a team. Okay? We're a team, and we have to have a team mentality that we're in this together. Eventually, we want to see, you know, more people come into leadership and eldership because it's important to have multiple leadership. Why? So we can get wisdom from one another. Okay? So we can get input from one another to do. That's important. Okay? But when people come and go, it's like very frustrating because they don't allow to give God the time to get them
right.
in that position.
Right.
Okay? You have to prove yourself to be faithful. You know, you have to prove that you're going to be there when you're needed. Okay? Again, but God, we want to. That's why we have the yeshiva school. We want to train people. We want to see more teachers come forth. We want to see more praise and worship. Again, it's a vision birthed within us. Okay? And I want to encourage you, stir up those gifts within you. Take those seeds and start watering them in prayer. And ask God to show you, because there's not one person here who is not gifted or has something to give to the body of Messiah. You just need to seek God. And when He starts showing you, say, okay, Father, open the door for me to use my gift, and I'll walk through it. And when you pray and you say that, He's going to open the door and see if you're going to go through and do what you said. Yep. Again, you know, if everybody was a carpenter, who'd pave the streets? If everybody was a house builder, who'd build the cars? Every person has a job to do, and it's all important. All those people together gives you a complete house. Somebody had to do the plumbing. Somebody had to do the tiling. Somebody had to do the carpentry. Somebody had to do the electric. Okay, and all together, you have a home to live in. Okay, all together in the body of Messiah, when we are using our gifts, we're going to function the way God wants us to function. And we need to be faithful, no matter what. And be willing, you know, start wherever, you know, God shows you. We need, you know, we need lots of help here. The conference, we're going to need lots of help.